Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. God is so good. I'm glad to be here with you in the house of the Lord. Would you just, you know, we didn't take any time to really do that this morning. Would you just find a couple people around you? Just look them in the eye. Just give them a little side hug in the pew there. Say, hey, I'm glad to see you here. Say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Say, you're going to be blessed by the service today. Let them know they look good. Let them know they smell good. You're glad to see them. Give them a little smile. Let them know you love them. It's great to be in God's house. Amen. I love coming to God's house. There's so much power here. There's so much of God's presence in this place. And our lives are changed. You know, every single time you come into God's house, every time you gather together with God's people, there's a supernatural power that is released. And anything is possible. Anything is possible in this place. No matter what you came in these doors with today, I know that anything is possible for you, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a lack in some area, whether you're just feeling discouraged or depressed, God can set you free today. God has the answer for you. God is good. Amen. We sang in this song, I know that God is for me, right? That blows my mind. I was sitting in the pew down here and I thought, I was singing those words, I know that you are for me. And I know that you never leave me and I know that you never forsake me. And as I was singing that, I was thinking about even my message today, the word became, and I was thinking about how God, I mean, the big God, the one who breathed stars and planets, the one who created the universe, the God of all creation, the one who made you, the one who made me, the one who thought it all up and then made it happen. That God, that all-powerful God is on your side.
Hallelujah.
Amen. What can stand against you if God is on your side? So I want to let you know today, there's victory in this place. There's deliverance in this place. There's freedom. Thank God for America. And thank God for the freedom that we have in Jesus. And man, I just believe we're going to be blessed today. Amen. We've already been blessed. I'm so thankful for the worship here. As I was praying this morning, I had a late morning since I was up listening to my neighbor's fireworks till about 2 a.m. I'm sure you were in the same boat. God bless you guys for being here. We should have church outside today. Isn't it nice? Oh, my goodness. But this morning I was praying for you, and I was thinking about you and just saying, God, what do you want me to say to the people today? I mean, I've already wrote it, so please don't change. But God, what do you want me to say to the people today? And I just feel like just a brief thing I want to share at the beginning of the word is that, you know, if you are in Christ, you have become a new creation. And you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I remember when I got saved. I remember the first time I encountered the presence of God. I was sitting right over here. And it was a number of years ago now. I'm getting older. And as I was standing there, actually we were singing a song, I think it was a Revelation song, and I thought, why are we singing about a lamb? What does that have to do with God, Jesus, church? Why are we singing about a lamb? But what I felt like God put on my heart this morning to share with you is that Jesus has become our sacrificial lamb. And you know, in the Old Testament, the people would bring a lamb to the temple, and they would place their hands on the lamb's head, and their sins would be transferred into the pure and spotless lamb. And then they would sacrifice the lamb, and they would be forgiven of their sins. Amen. So when that happened, when Jesus gave his life for us, he became our sacrificial lamb. And what I felt like God put on my heart, I want to set some people free today. If you've been living under guilt or shame or condemnation, when someone was bringing a lamb to the temple, the priests were not inspecting the person who brought the lamb. They were inspecting the lamb. The whole reason why somebody was bringing a lamb to the temple was because they themselves were not perfect, and they needed forgiveness, and they needed God's grace, and they needed this lamb to be sacrificed for their sins. And so when you come into God's house today, what I want to set you free with, encourage you with, is that God is not looking at you for your own righteousness. God is looking at your lamb, who is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And so when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of the lamb. And so I want to encourage you that you can enter boldly into God's throne room today, that you can receive fullness of grace and mercy, because it's not about your righteousness, but we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He is our lamb, and he is spotless and pure and perfect. Amen. Are you thankful for Jesus? Amen. 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 Praise God. Oh, you guys are an excitable bunch today. I like it. I like it. Well, I always like to get started out with something funny. I debated whether I was going to do this or not, but everybody was asking if I had a joke. So one day Adam was walking through the garden, and God appeared to him, and God said, "Hey, I have great news. I'm bringing you a companion. She's going to be called a woman. She'll cook for you. She'll clean up after you. She'll always listen to you. She'll always be supportive of you. She'll never disagree. And if there is a disagreement, she'll always be the first one to apologize." Adam said, "Wow, that sounds great, God. How much does a woman like that cost?" God said, "An arm and a leg." Adam thought to himself for a minute, and he said, "What can I get for a rib?" And the rest is history. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles. Everybody turn to your spouse, tell them you love them. All right, open up your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the Word of God today. God's Word is so powerful. God's Word created everything. God's Word can change our lives. We'll see if I got this thing on here. Yeah. All right, if you're there, Hebrews 4, say, "I'm there."
I'm there.
Awesome, you guys are fast. It says this, "For the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." I just want to pray, and we're going to get into the Word of God. Amen. Father, we come to you today, and we bring Jesus as our sacrificial lamb, knowing that in him we have righteousness to approach your throne room with great boldness. And Father, I pray that today there would be a release of revelation in this house. Lord, I pray for healing for every person who is sick, for every person who has disease. Lord, I pray for deliverance for every person in bondage today. Lord, I pray for freedom for every captive today. And Lord, I pray for recovery of sight for the blind. Lord, I pray for those who might be in a difficult situation. I pray your favor be released in their life today. And Lord, I pray that as the word goes out today, that you would produce something great in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God's word is powerful. What I want to share with you, I preached a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, I was in prayer, and God just gave me a revelation.
and it totally changed my perspective. And I don't even know that it's fully blown in my mind, that I've completely grasped it yet, but I want to bring you along with where I'm at as a revelation of God's word. God's word is so powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It even pierces and divides the soul and spirit. How can we divide the soul and spirit? Have you ever thought to yourself, is that me? Is that God? I don't know. How can we discern what is our soul and what is our spirit? God's word can discern that. God's word is powerful. God's word created everything, the scripture said. I remember I used to read it over and over again because I couldn't understand it. John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. And through Him, that's the Word, all things were made. And without Him, nothing was made that has been made. And in Him was life. And that life was the light of man. Everything that we see, Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand that everything that we see was created at God's command. So that what is seen did not come from what is visible. But everything that we see, this podium, this stage, our hands, everything that we see was made from God's word. God's word is stronger than any medicine. God's word is stronger than chemotherapy. God's word is stronger than any nuclear bomb. God's word is powerful. Amen? Amen. And God's word, our first truth for today, God's word can change your world. Amen? God's word is powerful. I better get my notes out because I don't know where I'm going. God's word is alive. Amen. You know, there's a mentality in the world and even in the church that if I can see it, if I can touch it, that makes it real. Wrong. It was a spiritual world until God's word was released, until God's word made it real. Everything that is seen was formed out of God's word. Just because you can touch it and see it doesn't make it real. God's word made it real. And God's word, that same word that made your body, can heal your body. That same word that made this world can change your world. Amen? Amen. God's word is powerful. If you don't like your physical world, you can change it. How? With God's word. If there's a financial lack, you can change that. How? With God's word. Is there a sickness, disease? Is there a lump in your body that shouldn't be there? You can change that. How? With God's word. God's word can change that. God's word is powerful. Is there a lack of peace in your life? You can change that. How? God's word can do that. Amen. 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 So what I want to talk to you today about is the power of God's word and how we can take that which is not seen, right? By faith we understand that the earth was formed at God's command, this is Hebrews 11, and that what is seen did not come from what is visible. How we can take today, I want to show you, what is not seen, the things of God's word, and bring them in to the physical world. How many of you would like to do that? Amen, I would. All right, four of us, we're going to get blessed today. Oh man, it's going to be awesome. So today, we're going to be reading out of the parable of the sower, Matthew chapter 13. And, you know, this is a powerful parable. Jesus said in Mark 4 that if you don't understand this parable, you won't understand any of the other parables either. And so this is a powerful key to unlock some truths about God's word. And this morning, my prayer for you is that God will not just give us some new information, but we'll turn our information into revelation. That the word of God will drop down into our hearts and produce a harvest. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the parable of the sower, it's not about the four grounds. Okay, it's about the seed, which is the word of God. So the parable of the sower, a lot of people, they talk about the condition of your heart, which is great, which is important. But the real subject of the parable is what? God's word. It's God's word that's going out. And, the word has power to reproduce itself. Amen. You know, the Bible says that us preachers, we're like oxen threshing out wheat, right? And so we just like go through the word like shh. You ever seen an oxen do that? And then we bring out the very best. It's such a blessing to come into the house of God. And then you get to hear like everything that the preachers, Pastor Joel, Pastor Pat, Pastor Keith, myself, we thresh out the wheat, right? And then we bring out the very best. And we give it to you. What a blessing to come to church, amen? And to hear the word of God. Because you get to receive the very best, all that the preachers, all that the pastors have sorted through. And you get it almost, you just get to sit there. And if you appreciate it, you say amen, and you receive it. And if you don't, you'll be in a coma. That's okay, you get blessed anyways. But God's word has power to reproduce itself. God's word has power to change your life. If you're believing this morning to bear children, you can meditate on scriptures about bearing children, and I believe that it will produce in your life. In due course, it will produce a harvest. If you're in need of a healing, you can take healing scriptures, meditate on them, think of them, and in due course, you will have a harvest of health and healing in your life. Amen. Amen. So it says there are four types of ground, which are the human hearts. It doesn't say that there are four types of sowers, so us preachers are excused. Okay, let's read. Matthew chapter 13, one of my favorite scriptures, Matthew 13:1, we'll start there. It says this: that same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. And everybody said, amen. All the people who aren't here today, they're following the example of Jesus, most likely. They're out sitting by the lake. And then it says, that doesn't even stop there. It says, such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat. I say, yes, Lord. Amen. That he got into a boat and he sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to people in parables? So this is key, what Jesus is about to say here, because I've been talking about revelation already this morning. And Jesus talks about how he spoke in parables. Why? Because some people who would want to receive from God's word, they would be able to understand it. But those who had closed off hearts, they would not. All right, so may it be for us all this morning that our hearts would be open to receive revelation from God, to understand the words that Jesus is speaking. Amen. He replied, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but not understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, not their minds, with their hearts. That's key. Understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are the eyes of everyone at CCC today. Blessed are the eyes. Blessed are your eyes because they see. Blessed are your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. Amen. We're gonna get into what the parable of the sower means, but I just want to preface it with this. We're gonna talk about, so there are three different places where Jesus tells the parable of the sower. It's the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, okay? And every single one of them gives us a different perspective, gives us a different view of this parable, and shows us a different portion and revelation. And what I believe, there are three different keys, three different unlocking points, and we're going to take a look at all three of them. And I believe that, you know, if you get one of them, you get a 30-fold production, 30-fold harvest of God's word. And if you know two of them, you get the 60-fold. If you get all three of them, you're going to get the 100-fold blessing today. Amen. So we're going to take a look into that secret. Jesus gave three examples of grounds that don't receive God's word. And there are in the three different gospels that list that give the parable of the sower, there are three different solutions. There are three different examples of the good soil that God gives. So I believe for every one of the three soils that doesn't receive, God shows how you can receive, how you can overcome that. Amen. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to see how God's word can change our world. Amen. You awake, you alive. All right, I'm going to be shooting fireworks off at the end of this, so stay tuned. I'm not really. Okay, we're at verse 18, Matthew 13, 18. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. That's the people who are sitting in the pews and the word goes out and, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, I'm healed. And then they run out and they get home and then they catch a cold and they say, oh, it didn't work. I'm never going back, right? It's those people, they receive it with great joy, but there's no root. And so it dries up. Okay. Verse 21, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is a man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So that was a lot of reading there, but I wanted to get through it. That's the Jesus explaining the parable of the sower. Now, if you read just one of the examples, you're going to get some different information. For example, if you read Mark, it says that the enemy comes and snatches up the seed. And you would think that if you only read that one, that the enemy can just come and snatch away God's word from anybody. But it says in this one that it says in Matthew that the one who, that person who the enemy can come and snatch the seed away from is the one who does not understand the word. And so if you understand the word, then the devil can't come and steal it from you. Amen? It says in 1 Peter that the devil prowls around and he looks for someone which he can devour, which means that there are some that he can't devour. Amen? And there are some that he can't steal the seed from. And there are some that he can't come against. And may it be for all of Christian Celebration Center, for all of you, for all of your family, that you keep the devil seeking. Amen? Amen. 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 All right. Yeah. Praise God. I love you. Amen. Okay, so we're gonna look at just the three different examples of the parable of the sower, and I want to unlock for you the way that I believe God's word can change your world, how you can become the heart that produces a harvest, that produces a harvest of God's word, that produces the promises of God's word, that lives out the promises of God's word. How many of you want that in your life? Amen. So number one, in Mark's gospel, it says, number one is receive it, okay? It says, and those are the ones on whom seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so one translation says, receive it, right? Mark, he's the power evangelist, okay? Mark has the shortest attention span of all the people who wrote gospels. His is the shortest, and his is all about miracles, right? So he would be the one who, when he's talking about the sower, what he heard is, you have to receive it. When you hear God's word, you have to receive it. It brings me to my next truth. Sometimes you have to say amen to God's word before you understand it. Amen? Sometimes you might be reading the word and it'll say, by his stripes I am healed. ED, past tense, already healed. And you might read that and you might say, I don't understand that because I'm not healed. I'm sick. I have a disease in my body. Something's wrong with me. Yeah. Something's wrong with me. How can it say that I'm healed? But sometimes you have to accept God's word before you understand it. You have to receive it, right? And this, I believe, is the answer when it talks about the first type of soil. It doesn't receive the word because it doesn't understand the word. That's the hard and calloused heart, right? It hears the word. It says that everything that you touch is going to prosper, and nothing that you are touching right now is prospering. And so you don't even accept that word. You don't even let it get into your heart. You don't want to be disappointed. You don't, you know what? That's not true for me. That might be true for other people. Sometimes you have to say amen to God's word before you understand it. The first key to receiving and producing a harvest of God's word in your life is to accept it. Amen? Sometimes it might not make any sense. I was reading the story of Joseph this week, and when it says that when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, okay, how many of you know what Joseph was doing in Potiphar's house? He was a slave, okay? Not the most prestigious job that you can have. He was a slave. And the Bible says this about him. So God's word says this about him, that Joseph was a prosperous man. Now, I don't think that most of us would be reading that story if the Bible didn't say it there and think, wow, his brothers threw him into a pit. This guy bought him and then made him a slave in his house. What a prosperous man. But God's word said that he was a prosperous man. And because Joseph received God's word, right? We read earlier in the dreams that he had, and he believed God's word, then that's who he was already. And God's word was started in his heart. And then eventually, in due season, it produced a harvest. Amen? When you read God's word, receive it into your heart. Take God's word to heart and believe that they are for you. You know what? I just believe everything in this book, okay? I believe the numbers. I believe the words in the margins. I believe all the study materials. I believe the concordance. I just believe it all. Amen. All of this word is for you. Every promise, every single word is for you. And so the first key is to accept it. The next one, Matthew says, understand it. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, this is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. You know, when you receive God's word, okay, so just like when you plant a seed in soil. Okay, so this is not a farming lesson. God's talking about the kingdom of God, but he's saying this is how it works. Okay, and just like when you plant a seed in the soil, you don't see anything at first, right? It's there. It's protected. And you have to care for it. But all the while that you're caring for it, all the beginning phases, you don't see any result. And then you might see something, but you don't chop it down when it's 3 inches tall and try to eat it. You have to wait, right? You have to cultivate it. And this is the understanding. This is the part where we get revelation. And I really believe, you know, even in our bodies, God has given us an example, okay? So we talk about revelation. Understanding is the revelation of God's word. That's where it begins. That's where it begins to grow up, to sprout up. Where you see, have you ever read the word? You might have read this scripture 100 times, and then all of a sudden, I see it! I see it! You feel like that guy, Eureka! I found it! You wake up the person next to you in church, like, you see it? How many of you have been sitting in this church before? Pastor Joel's been preaching, somebody's been preaching, and all of a sudden, revelation comes. Anybody? All right, amen. That's a powerful thing. That can change your life. I want to go back to something. Why is the devil so adamant about stealing God's word from your life? Why is it that as soon as God's word is put into your life, we read, this is why it's so important to accept it first. As soon as the word is put out, as soon as you read the word, as soon as you're sitting in church and you say, amen, praise God, I got the word, I got the promise of God. Why is the devil so adamant about stealing that word right away? It's as if he doesn't want it to remain in you for even 1 second longer. I think it's because the devil knows something about God's word that many of us Christians don't know. It's that it has power. It has power to change your life. Has power to, just like the mustard seed, to overtake, to grow out and produce and overtake the entire garden. God's word has power. You know, the devil is not an inexperienced thief. Okay? When you have an amateur thief, they always get caught. They're taking cheese out of the refrigerator. Okay? They're taking candy. They get caught because they're carrying the big screen out the front door, okay? The devil is not an amateur. The real expert thieves, they know exactly where to look. And they get all the valuables, and they know where they're hidden. And they don't get caught because they know all the small secret things that are really valuable. And the devil is not an inexperienced thief. He knows what's really valuable. And he's coming after the word of God because he's afraid that you will receive the word of God and that you will produce a harvest of the word of God in your life. Amen? Amen. So, amen. Praise God. I love that man. Amen. So this is the person who understands it. And then the last one, this is the fight of faith. Oh, I have a truth. In order to produce, God bless America. In order to produce a harvest, we have to turn our information into revelation. Amen. It's got to, I really believe that God has, I was going to say this before, I just remembered. God has given us even a visual representation. You know, it's great that we use our minds, okay? They're very powerful. God has given us our minds so we can use it. And some people use it more than others. But God has given us a mind, but the soil, the place where God's word produces, it's not the soil of the mind. It's the soil of the heart. And I believe that this up here, this is the shallow ground, okay? This is the just the topsoil part. And a lot of times we can hear the word maybe, or we read the word, and it's just up here, and we say, yeah, that's great, or whatever. We might just have it right up here. But if it doesn't drop down into our heart, then we can lose it. This is where the real change happens. It's the soil of the heart. And so we need to take the scriptures, we need to meditate on them in our mind, think on them, get to know them, and eventually as we do that, as we quote the word, we read the scriptures, we quote the word, we hear the word, we listen to preaching, eventually it drops down into our heart. And that's where the real change happens. So the next one is in Luke chapter 8. Persevere in it. This is the fight of faith. It says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So what does that mean, to persevere in the word? You know, I have a lot of examples of this in my life, and I'm sure that you do too. Have you ever been like in church and reading the word, and you see this word that says, by his stripes, I'm healed, I'm healthy. We sing the song that the choir sings, I will live and not die. I'm healed in Jesus' name, amen? And we hear that and we say, yes, amen. And then we go home and we catch a cold. We go home and we get a bad medical report, right? This is persecution that comes because of the word, right? When Jesus was telling the parable, it says persecution might come because of the word. And what Luke is saying here is you might receive a word. And then because you received that word, because the devil wasn't able to snatch it up from you, now he's going to try to get you to let it go another way. He's going to bring the sun. He's going to bring persecution because of the word. And you have to persevere in God's word. There are going to be times where you come to church. You know, we were talking about these people earlier who they receive it immediately with joy, right? They go home. And then by Thursday, they say, Pastor Jacob told me God's favor would accompany me. This has been the worst week of my life. It doesn't work. I'm never going back. Right? But we have to persevere in the word. When you receive the word, now I don't want any fear to come into your life today, but when you receive the word, when you accept it, when you understand it, there may be persecution that comes because of the word. Amen. You know, even in my own life, just a quick testimony. I believe that God has, once the word grows up in your life, it's really hard to uproot it, right? That's why the devil's afraid. When you have a seed in the soil, it's really easy just to come pick it up. Or even just a little plant, just pull it out. Come back 3 months later, you're going to get a hernia, okay? It's hard to pull up because it has roots. It's taken root. And so if you come and try to talk me out of, the devil tries to talk me out of divine healing or God's grace or something, God's favor, it's too late. It's too late. You can't pull that up. Amen. It's rooted in my life. Amen? But Even just recently, within the last year, you know, God has given me revelation about healing. And I was meditating and teaching about God's healing. And that same week when I was just talking about God's protection, and I kept quoting the word, Psalm 91, right? I said, even if 10,000 fall at my right hand, yet it will not come near me. And I was meditating on it, right? I received that word, and I was understanding it. I was in the process of understanding it, and I was quoting the word, and I was building my faith through the word, right? And then, you want to know what happened to me that weekend? I got a sinus infection. And I said, the pestilence came near me. It doesn't work. That was what I was tempted to do, right? We're all tempted to do that. But this is the fight of faith, to persevere in it. There will be, when you receive God's word, when you read that everything that I do is going to prosper, you might face an unprosperous event. You might face a difficulty. When you hear, God, I'm healed by his stripes, you might walk into sickness, because the devil does not want you to hold on to that word, because that word will change your life. And you can give it up there, or you can just avoid it and say, you know what? It's not worth it. I don't want to get sick. But I'll tell you what, the devil is going to come back either way. And if you give up God's word, you won't have it next time he comes back. And so hold on. Persevere in it. Protect God's word. Stand in faith, even when you don't see it. Stand in faith and believe God's word. Amen. This is the fight of faith. You know, actually in Hebrews 4, where we began, the chapter starts out this way. It says, I'm going to flip there so I don't get it wrong. Hebrews and James. All right. It's the song I learned, so I knew the Bible books. You guys with me? You learning from the word today? Amen. First, you receive God's word into your heart. You understand it. You meditate on it. You get revelation of it, and then you persevere in it. Amen. And it will produce in your life. That's how you take from what is unseen and bring it into the scene. That's how you take the invisible and make it visible in your life. Amen. It says this in Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So this is the chapter that talks about how God's word is living, active, powerful, sharp. And it says that, for we also, verse 2, have had the gospel preached to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. So I believe this morning is the word is the seed that goes into your life, but if you don't combine the word with faith, then it won't produce. Amen? You have to persevere in it. You have to keep on believing it. I wonder if I have a truth after that. Oh, good, I don't. You have to persevere in it. You have to believe it if it's going to benefit you. Faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you want to know, I learned something about that this week, that when it says the word of God, it actually is not the Greek word for God there. It's not the word of theos, which is the word for God. It's the word of Christos, the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And when Jesus is revealed through these scriptures, faith is released into your life. Jesus was walking with two men on the road to Emmaus, and they were all discouraged. They were bummed out because Jesus is dead. And he's walking with them. And it says that Jesus opened up, he revealed himself in the scriptures. And when he was doing that, what was happening? Their hearts became warm. Their hearts were being transformed. As Jesus was revealing himself in the scriptures, the word of God, the word of Christ, was being deposited into their hearts. And there was something happening, something being produced in their hearts. And then Jesus miraculously disappeared. And it says that they began to talk about, weren't our hearts becoming warm as he unveiled the scriptures to us? I mean, if I was there, if I was one of those two guys, and the guy who I was walking with just miraculously disappeared, I'd be like, whoa! Did you see that? Dude, give me a high five. That was awesome. That guy just disappeared. But what was more powerful, what was more profound, what was more life-changing to them was that the word of God was being revealed to them. What was more impactful is that their hearts were receiving God's word. Their hearts were being changed by God's word. Amen. Amen. And the last key here, this entire chapter, you know, God's word is what does the work in your life. I want to emphasize that. God's word does the work. A lot of times we get a verse, by his stripes I'm healed. We try to make it happen, right? But God's word is what does the work. God's word is what changes us. Right after the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God some more. It says, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil, and he goes to bed at night, and he gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He himself does not know how. The soil produces crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts the sickle because the harvest has come. The kingdom of God is like this. A man, he takes the word, right? The seed is the word of God. And he puts it into it. He sows the seed. And then he rests. He goes to sleep. He wakes up. He doesn't know how. This is how the word can change your life. If you are in lack in any area of your life, joy, peace, finances, health, anything at all, any area, any promise of God, God has given you every single promise that you need here in this book. And you take those scriptures and you meditate on them. You wake up, you read the word. You think on the word. You meditate the word. You sow it into your life. You go to work, you come home, you go to bed. You wake up, you quote the word, you read the word, you receive the word, you put it into your life, you go to work, you go to bed, and eventually, you don't know how. All of a sudden, everything is changed in your life because the word of God does the work. The word of God changes your life. Amen? Amen. I just want to ask the worship leaders will come up. I just want to sing a song. Maybe that last song that we sang, I know that you are for me. I want to encourage you this morning. I hope you're encouraged. I hope that you learned something. I believe that you did. And I believe that this revelation from God's word has power to change your life. I want to tell you today, no matter what you're facing, God's word can change your situation. God's word can change, can overcome every obstacle that you face. Jesus is the word. Jesus has all power, all authority. And that power is here in this room tonight. And would you just all stand with me? And we're going to sing. And I want to pray a blessing over you. And I believe that God is going to produce a harvest in your life. Amen. First, the reason why, as we were singing this song earlier, I thought, I'm going to have them come at the end and sing, I know that you are for me. Because this word here, this is a powerful truth that will change your life. And there are so many people whose hearts might be calloused, like it talked about in scripture, like we read, might not even receive God's word because they're a little maybe standoffish about God's word. They're afraid to receive it because they don't know, is God on my side? Is God for me? So I just want to sing this song by faith. I want you to stir up your faith and expect God to do good things in your life. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it.
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so true, so powerful in all you do.
Speak a blessing over you to receive. God's word says that he is for you, and if he is for you, then what could be against you? And I declare over your life right now a hundredfold blessing of health, that the word of God produce a hundredfold blessing of love, that the word of God produce in you a hundredfold blessing in your finances, that the word of God produce in you a hundredfold blessing in all of the relationships of your life, for unity, for peace, for joy, for love, for grace. I pray that grace and peace be multiplied unto you by the power that is in Christ Jesus. I pray over you that the Lord would bless you and keep you, that the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Happy 4th of July weekend. So great to be with you. God bless you. Have an outstanding week in God's presence. I pray that God's word would produce a harvest in your life this week. And don't forget, as you're leaving, we're collecting offerings for the SAM Fund. God bless you guys. Have a great week.